I know I always encourage you guys to listen while you're arting, and this is definitely one of those times. I was doing a live stream on Instagram, and Marcos MP Art joined me, and we had a nice long discussion about all kinds of stuff related to creating and drawing and what conventions and all kinds of cool stuff. So I definitely recommend you listen while you're arting. Please, 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 this is a perfect time to do that. I won't hold you to it. I won't be mad, but seriously, that's my recommendation. Please enjoy. Thanks a lot. Hey, buddy.
Not much, man. Just working on some comic work here.
Tell me about what you're working on, man. Are you doing your own project now?
Yeah, so this is something I came up with.
Heck yeah.
Working with a friend of mine. He does, he's the writer of it. It's his story.
Cool,
yeah,
man.
He just asked me to illustrate it for him. So we've been working on it for a little while.
That's exciting. Every time I go check out your stuff, you're doing like fan art. Nothing wrong with that at all, but I'm excited to see you doing your own thing. Yeah, I know. I know. Are you? Is art your main thing?
Yeah. So I'm a stay-at-home parent. Been doing that for about 3 years, and my wife gave me the opportunity to just focus on my art. I've been doing art all my life, but just always had a 9-to-5, and now this has been it.
Cool, man. That sounds like a great opportunity.
Hell yeah! Take advantage of it.
Yeah. So it's been working out.
Okay. Pretty good, man.
Cool. So you do what, commissions and originals, sell that stuff, and then you're working on your own thing as well now?
Yeah, just doing just that commission work, a lot of commission work, whether it be comics like this one or just fan art stuff or other things like portraits for people, whatever people want, I do it. Logo designs, it doesn't matter.
That's awesome.
And then doing conventions on the side.
Right on.
Make a quick ton of cash in one day.
You really can, yeah. If as long as you put the effort into it, yeah, it's a great way to make some money. They're fun.
So there's been a few things I've been working on. I'll show you. Like, this is one I did with some other guys called Pax or Penis. It's 4 different stories in a book. We got 3 issues out.
Right on.
Mine is like a World War II story. See, I don't really like show much of it, but I'll show you here.
Let me see it.
Your thing?
Let's take a look.
So this one has like there's 3 artists, 4 different stories in it. Mine is one in the back. Now each artist has their own strengths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like we don't care about level of quality or anything like that. We just want to get the story across.
Yeah.
You know, we don't discriminate.
So is it like an anthology kind of thing, or is it people pitching in the same story?
No, so this is kind of like the movie Crash, where,
yeah.
I don't know if you recall, it's like a bunch of different stories, and at the end of the movie, they all end up playing.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. The story takes place in the past, the present, the future, and you're just seeing how, like, different time frames, timelines. And then in the end, they all actually, I think issue 4, they're all going to combine together. So mine is like the World War II one. The guy's going to, so this airborne group, they go into Hitler's eagle's nest, and they end up going to his basement, and they find that he's got like a Draugr, which is like a super soldier, in the
Sweet.
Basement there.
Cool, man.
But this super soldier, he takes place in all these other stories as well.
Right on.
So it revolves around him and this like mystic egg.
Mystic, a mystic egg?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like this, right on. I don't know, it's whatever they write, I just draw for it.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. I think mystic eggs are intriguing. That sounds good.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. This is tonight, it's just drawing, coloring this comic that I got, that we're working on.
That's what you're doing tonight?
Yeah.
So you're on the colors for that? Oh, okay.
Coloring, drawing, inking.
Wow.
Doing the letters. I can't do letters, but I mean, it doesn't. I know there's people who are really good at it, who know the tricks or whatever, but I just make the word bubble and write the letters.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the professionals, but I just get it done.
You write the letters or you type them in?
I type them in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, I've had people open up the book and be like, "Ooh, I can see you don't know what you're doing."
It makes a difference.
Yeah,
You know what I
it
mean?
does. But when you're doing it out of your pocket.
Nah, man. Nah. But you're giving yourself permission to kind of half-ass it then.
See what you're saying.
You literally just said, like, I'll just throw it together and. No.
I mean, you know good resources that I could use that could teach me that?
No.
I mean, my buddy did give me a font to use that,
Cool. Oh, yeah.
you know, where like the capital I is different from an I that's in the paragraph, like in a sentence.
What I used was what the I know there's people that are here from my Discord community. What's the free font place for comic fonts, guys? Oh, Blambot. Blambot? Yeah. Blambot. They have it's free for independent use, you know. You can even, you know, you don't owe them anything. It's just for indie creators, it's free. Yeah, thank you, Luke. Confirmed that. Thank you, Luke. Yeah, so Blambot can give you know, if just having the right font is an issue, they got you covered. You know what I mean? But I think like also trusting your artistic eye and skill. You know what I mean? Like you probably are more capable than you realize. It sounds like you're kind of just, you know, throwing it together and being like, oh well, I'm not a color or I'm not a letterer. You know what I mean? But it's fun. Like I don't consider myself a professional letterer at all. But once I got into it, it can be really fun because it can help accentuate the visuals that are there and it can really kind of fit into the picture and stuff, you know?
I do look at it in terms of design wise
Yeah,
for layout, making sure it
right.
doesn't mess it up. And then
Right.
the other challenging thing about these comics is making sure that the artwork, you're not wasting your time on art or pieces of the picture that's going to be covered up by text.
Yeah, right. Do you plan out ahead of time where your text? Because I don't do that at all.
Yeah, like I don't know if you can see too well, like the layout I have for this page here. It's gonna be it's like here he's like thinking to himself, and then there's like they bump into each other, and then there's a confrontation. So I got the words like jumping all over the place here, but I kind of have a flow as to where I want it to be going. You know, I try to keep it interesting. I try to make it where you can still understand it without having to
Right.
read it.
No, that's ultimately the goal is if you can take the words out and still understand the story, then you've succeeded, I think, in the sequential part of it. The panel to panel piece. So when you put the letters down, it's part of the art. It's not just something we tack on, it's part of the image, you know? And actually the word bubbles, I find that those carry the eye really, really well because it's just a white circle, you know? So those word bubbles, I mean, I find when I read even professional level comics that I'll skip over the art if the word bubbles are the thing that are drawing my eye, you know? Thank you, Raphael.
You say, yeah.
So it's a whole art to unto itself, and I know you know that. But that's something I'm figuring out. And I just experiment and I trust, you know, my eye and like, you know, is my impression of it what I want other people to kind of feel and experience, you know?
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm learning as I go on, man. I'm just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like a sponge on social media trying to learn from other artists what they're doing.
Totally.
You know, looking at the comics that I have at home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Andrew Rodriguez. Hey, glad you're here, Andrew. He said Jason Brubaker, I don't know who that is, has an entry on his website that goes over some lettering do's and don'ts.
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff like that is helpful, yeah.
You know, and that's the good thing about conventions too. I've made friends with a lot of people who've
Yeah.
written their own comics. And so eventually I'm gonna be writing when my wife wrote a story
Cool.
and I'm gonna illustrate it, and we're gonna have a friend who's going to hopefully edit it for us. He's
Okay.
written a few comic books. He's working on one of the things he writes is called Junior Braves of the Apocalypse. They're like I think he's through Oni Press.
Oh, cool.
It's about a group of Boy Scouts who go on a trip, and when they come back, kind of like the whole world like is going through an apocalypse where it's like zombies and all these different things.
That's great.
And they're using their Boy Scout skills.
I love it.
You know, to survive. It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's good for little kids. My son loves it.
Cool.
You know, we're just enjoying it.
Heck yeah. I like the premise. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, though, man. I'm glad to see you doing your own thing.
Thanks, man.
Like, it feels good, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a challenge.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's fun.
It is. And you know, before doing my first comic, because I've only done a couple, but, like, the amount of work that's involved is incredible.
Yeah. And then you gotta market it, man. Make sure that it's gonna sell when you go to school.
Yeah, that I'm terrible at that. That didn't work out. That did not work out very well at all.
I like what you did with the other one. Sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
I never know how to really pronounce it properly.
Sculpture,
okay.
Yeah.
I like that one, man. And just seeing the way you were progressing on it. As you would post things about it.
Oh, yeah.
I could see as you were coloring it, how you gotten better as the page kept going on.
That was the I think the coolest part for me was, like, page per page, I could feel like I'm improving, like I'm getting better at telling a story or executing on whatever. Just learning, like you said, learning by doing right now for you, it's fonts, and if, you know, for everybody too. But just learning by doing, you know.
Yeah.
Trial by fire, kind of thing.
So
but
you stopped it, man?
Because I didn't have complete control over it. It wasn't. It was an idea that I had borrowed from my brother, who came up with this brilliant idea in character design, and I fell in love with it. And he said I could run with it, so I did. But while I was working on the third issue, he started to play around with the idea too, and I'm like, wait, I've already established all this stuff, and then it hit me like, I don't have complete control over this, so that really, that's why I'm like, yeah, I gotta let it go, so I feel right, you know, good about what I'm doing, so I switched over to Astro Pig, and it was cool, it was good, because it was mine completely, I had complete control over it, it was a much different experience, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. When it's yours, it's whatever you say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I like working with my wife, because we came up with it when we were hiking.
Nice.
I don't want to disclose about the story, but cause
yeah.
I think it's really good. I mean, everyone should think that about their own story.
Right.
But I really think we got something. And I mentioned this to my friend who's a writer. And so I'm really hoping that when he goes to edit it for us, he can steer us in the right direction where we can have a beginning and a middle and an ending that
nice.
Works. That's not just something thrown around.
Yeah, dude, totally.
But yeah, you know, the fact that we can do whatever we want with it, if we want to kill a person or it's our choice, you know?
It's, yeah. I've never done, I don't think I've ever done a comic for somebody else. Did I? No, I kind of talked about it with a couple people and stuff, but I never did that, and I'm glad I didn't, because it wouldn't be mine.
Yeah.
It's a big deal for me that it's, you know, mine. It's, you know what I mean? Not just the finished product, but the whole world, the character, everything about it.
Yeah. It's like this story here. It's not something that I would write.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that my friend wrote, and he asked me about it, and I was like, all right, cool. You know, I've never really drawn a comic, so I was like aside from just moving around in the past, so I figured out, let me do it. Just, you know, I wasn't doing anything at the time, and this was pretty good. It went from a certain audience. We wanted to make it to like preteens to adults,
yeah,
and little kids picked it up in grade school.
Cool.
And from them picking it up and liking it, it went into that audience that we're targeting.
Right on.
You know, so there's certain limitations that we can actually get away with without making it too risky, in a sense, for little kids.
Yeah.
But, no, the whole premise of this story that I'm working on is It's about a group of black kids from this community that are on Earth. They meet up with these guys from Saturn, mm-hmm. and they go on these adventures using their talents or skills that they have here on Earth. And it's just kids from high school that little kids can, you know, everyday kids can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
It's cool.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. I like the idea. So were you hired to draw that?
Yeah.
Yes. Because you said it was a friend of yours, right?
Yeah, so okay. the way it works here, it's interesting because, again, it's a learning curve, and it wasn't, because it was a friend, or is a friend, I'm not charging as much as I would normally charge.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to disclose numbers, but...
Yeah. I got you.
If I were to go back and do it again, I think I would charge a regular rate, even if it is a friend. Because at the end of the day, it's my time that's going into this.
Right.
And just as much as he wants deadlines, and I understand the deadlines, and there are other well-paying commissions that take jump to the front of the line because, you know, Bill's got to get...
Yeah.
But it's fun, man, when you enjoy doing something like this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not really work.
Right. That's the way I felt about Astropig. I didn't feel like work at all. I couldn't get enough of it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I like seeing the progression of that story as well. How you're coming up with the character, the names, the stickers, and all that.
That was so much fun, man.
So what is this, Jubilee?
Yep. Yeah, this is just a commission I took on because I needed some art money.
Yeah.
Some expenses popped up and I put it on the credit card and I didn't want to use my family's money to pay it off, so I had to earn some art money real quick.
Yeah. You know what's a good one to pick up, man, if you get a chance to?
Huh.
So I picked this up. I don't know if you saw it at your local comic shop.
What?
It's those blank books.
Yeah.
So this one is like a 24-hour. It's a full blank sketch cover. It's a sketch. The whole thing is blank.
Oh, interesting.
And so what I did was I got commissions to fill up each page.
Nice.
And it worked out pretty good, you know. The person I'm just drawing as a person requests each picture.
That's awesome.
They got Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
So one person hired you to do all the pages?
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool. I tried doing that. I like that it's like this official thing that you found there. I had just bought some, like, you know, small sketchbooks, and I tried to do that. But I don't think I sold any of them. That's great, though.
You did have one for sale, your sketchbook.
I sold a couple of completed sketchbooks, but I tried that where it was started off blank. And then someone could pay me and pick whatever they wanted, you know, years ago. Yeah. And it didn't go anywhere. I didn't push it either, but it didn't go anywhere for me.
Okay.
At that time. I think, I don't know, if I were to do it again now, I don't know what would happen.
Dude, I think if you were to do it now, you'd make that sale quick.
I don't know. But
old fans that started popping up too with, I'm not saying that they were gone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You had posted that Venom one with the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
The dudes that were saying that they had that print.
Yeah, man, that's the coolest thing. That was my biggest one at conventions by far, was both versions of the Turtle Venoms, you know.
Dude, your Venom is awesome, dude.
Thank you.
Your Venom is really cool.
Thank you very much. Do you have a character like that you just, like, don't get bored of drawing? No, it's not. You can say Batman.
I love Batman.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up. Like, I like Ninja Turtles. They're usually, like, my go-to ones to do.
You do, like, yeah. You like them, yeah.
Yeah. You know, or, let me see. I don't get tired of Joker. I just love the different you can do with the Joker.
He's pretty versatile, huh?
Like, mm-hmm. where I try to change them up a bit.
Right.
Whether it be with the eyes the face. For instance, I'll use Dragon Ball Z as an example.
Mm-hmm.
They're so iconic that
right.
I have to change it. I can't just leave it the same way.
Do you usually use like a reference photo that you go off of? And then you try to switch it up? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll use a reference. If I'm looking for pose,
I'll
use like maybe a few references and mix the poses together.
Sure.
But I don't like it where someone will be like, oh, I see where you got it from Google.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's some artists that I see, especially at conventions, where like you can tell, like that's the same. I've seen that image over and over again.
Okay. Or you can like walk down, you see one person's art that they're selling, and you walk around the corner and you see the artist who actually drew it.
Yeah. How many conventions are you doing now?
So this year I went a little bit more. I did about maybe 7 or 8.
Nice.
I usually do a lot of local ones. I find the local ones are a lot better.
Mhm.
Because of the intimacy that you get in there.
Totally. There was someone here, who I think he's still here actually. But he was saying that he got a couple of commissions from me at 2 different local conventions, and he was looking forward to my next one, and I told him I don't do it anymore. But yeah, that's exactly it. Is you definitely build up those relationships and that trust, and people keep an eye out for you.
Yeah. So like I've traveled to a couple. I did Amazing Comic Con Las Vegas. I did.
Oh, nice.
Keystone Comic Con in Philadelphia. I did.
Oh, you're getting around.
Yeah, I mean, well, I get to kill 2 birds with 1 stone in Philadelphia. That's where I'm from, so.
Oh,
I
guess cool. Right on.
You know, save money, not having to rent a hotel.
That's perfect, man.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Hey there, I am a Dit Yannick. Nailed it. Yeah, dude, that's perfect. I've been trying. I'm trying to pronounce people's names. If you can get free place to stay while you're making money at a convention, heck yeah.
Yeah, I tried. I asked a friend who I met at a couple conventions. I said, "Hey, you want to split a room?"
Right.
He said, "No."
Why?
It's cool.
Why wouldn't he split?
I guess he does his own thing. I have no idea.
Dang.
But it's all good.
That's cold.
I just push sales a little harder.
There you go. I never did anything outside of my locals.
Yeah, you know what? It's a risk, man. When I went to Amazing Comic Con Las Vegas, it was really bad, dude. I barely broke even.
Oh.
And considering like my flight,
right.
Food and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even go gamble. I just stayed in the hotel.
Oh hell no.
Yeah. And it was funny because I've heard great things about it. And a lot of people that I've met, I'm like, they're killing it over there. And I'm like, yeah, I know why. It's because of your name. You are.
Oh, so yeah.
So people are coming in and looking straight for you.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I was just at a bad location. Location was bad, dude.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It makes a big difference, yeah.
Where I was, it was right by the celebrity signing.
Okay.
So we had, and the main stage. So we had people bypassing our row to get to the signing or to get to the main stage. And then people that were coming from the signing or the main stage trying to fight the traffic, the oncoming traffic, and bypassing our row. So we were like just an empty aisle that wasn't even getting any walkthrough.
Dang, man.
Yeah, and then when you had artists that were either their first time at a convention, or just like really desperate for a sale, it was like, you ever watched The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Where you got Ariel swimming into the tunnel to Ursula's place, and you got the little worms looking at her?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what that aisle felt like. Like the little worms saying with those googly eyes, please buy my artwork. Come here, please. Please. I'm like, man, you guys are killing my vibe.
Dang, dude.
But it's a learning curve, man.
Oh, it is, yeah. Where do you live?
So right now I'm in Seattle.
Oh, so you went to Vegas. Ah.
Yeah.
Dang.
I went out there. It was all right. I'm actually in the middle of moving to back to Philadelphia.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going back to the East Coast to be closer to family.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to raise kids away from the grandparents, you know.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, both my kids' grandparents are both an hour and a half away, so it's not too bad at all.
See, no, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So it's all good. I'll be able to hit up some East Coast conventions that a lot of friends over there
do. Yeah, it's a whole new audience for you.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
What size is that?
What size is what? Oh, this?
What size? Yeah.
9x12.
Oh, all right. You use a specific paper?
I like this tone tan. It's Strathmore, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my go-to. I love that stuff. The colors show pretty darn well on it.
Yeah, I was watching Eddie Nunez, the way he draws on that tone paper.
Oh, okay.
And I freaking love it, man. Have you seen his artwork?
Yeah, I used to follow him. I don't follow him anymore, but yeah, I don't follow anybody anymore.
His art is so good, man.
He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, his Kickstarter. See, that's a person who's got a great name and a great following.
Right.
Did a Kickstarter for his book. I don't know if you supported it or anything.
No.
But it was like his first goal was $5,000. He made $8,000 within the first half an hour.
Yeah.
And then it just finished
Dang.
A couple days ago or last week, late last week.
Right.
And he exceeded 33 or 34,000.
Well, what's the book?
It's just like, I think it's like an 80-page art book of just all his artwork. And
of fan art or his own thing?
Fan art or just his sketches, his doodles, how he constructs bodies, how he does poses. There's original work. It's just a mix of everything that he's been doing.
Okay.
So it's a lot of behind the scenes things. Good. I just support it because I like supporting friends' works.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. When I saw that, I'm like, man, I need that name.
Some people got. I mean, I know he's earned it. Like, you know, he's definitely earned what he's got. He's hugely talented.
Oh yeah.
But it makes a big difference having that name, like getting your name out there, like doing the professional level work. Like professionals at cons, it's a much different experience, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They seriously like just show up.
Yeah, one of the things I was hearing was that, I don't know if I read it or someone told me, I forget. But professionals, when they go to conventions, they're just there to party, hang out, network with old friends. They're not really there. A lot of them aren't really there to draw. That's why part of the reason why the prices are high. And then it's like, you know, they don't really want to go there to work. When I was doing a Keystone Comic Con, my row was, they had some pretty good people.
Yeah.
And I was actually intimidated because this person didn't show up, but I saw Eric Canetti.
Ooh, dang.
His name was at the table across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him, as I was setting up, I was like, oh, damn. Dang. One of the guys who I really admire. I'm so intimidated this whole weekend because he's like a genius.
Right.
Well, he didn't show up.
He didn't show up?
No. I think he was just, I don't know what happened. He may have just been prepping for New York.
Dang.
But, so I was like, oh, darn, that sucks because I would have bought some of his artwork.
Sure.
But it's all good. You know, more exposure for me. You know, people can walk down and see my stuff or other artists.
Sure.
And then we had Fabian. Fabian was there, who's one of the co-creator of Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
And, so he was across from me on the corner. And it's the name because every time he would come in for like a couple hours,
uh-huh.
The aisle of the row was crowded with people. When he would leave, it was a mediocre aisle.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. But it's fun, man. I like conventions. You get to network.
It's such a good time.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to where my brother-in-law just volunteered to help me out and come with me. So it was just tons of fun. You know, hanging out with him basically for a day or two.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask for anything like I mean, I bought him lunch and breakfast and stuff, but he's like, you know, usually it was a fight to like let me buy him something, you know, or to buy something for him. So it was just super, it was just hanging out with a friend for a weekend. And he had a really good work ethic. He was really into it, even though he wasn't into like comics or art at all, but he just wanted to be there, you know? So it was just so cool.
Oh, who was this? If you don't mind.
Just my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just being nice.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who never went to a convention before.
Yeah.
And while I was in Philly, he came through just to hang out and just chill with me.
Yeah.
And he was just so surprised as to the whole convention.
Yeah, yeah.
Behind the scenes, everything that goes on.
Yeah.
He enjoyed it. He had a good time.
It's so much fun, man. Hey, Aaron. Hey, Triple Artwork. Welcome back. Yeah, dude, the conventions, it's, if nothing else, just to kind of sit and people watch, it's interesting. There's like so many characters there.
True. Put this aside for right now.
So what, how do you color? What are you using to color that?
To color what?
You're working on colors, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just using Photoshop and just my Wacom tablet, my old school one.
Oh man.
I don't have a Cintiq or anything like that, or
nothing with a screen.
Say that again. No, like, yeah, nothing on the screen. I'm not drawing on the screen.
How come?
When I got the money for it, the thing grew up, and then it's like, well, this thing that I've had for like maybe 10, 12 years has been working fine. There's no need to buy something new.
Dang. 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
I gotta respect that.
Hey, man, it's a great investment.
Yeah.
At the time, it was like the top of the line one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so I went for it.
Right on.
And it's been doing good. Yeah, Wacom's a good company.
Right, right. Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly.
You got
and,
it.
And you get what you pay for, too, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But have you ever thought about upgrading or getting something a little more modern, contemporary?
Dude, I've thought about it a lot.
What do you think?
Well, I want to get the Cintiq, but then I was hearing that the 2013 model or 14 model is a lot better than the newer one, current one. Someone was telling me that they felt like the hardware, and I mean, it's just someone's opinion.
Right.
But they were telling me that they felt like the hardware was a lot better with the older model than with the newer one.
Interesting.
If someone else knows better than me, please educate me, because I ask around a lot just to get an idea before I go spend like $15 to $2,000 on a piece, you know?
Dang. Have you thought about like an iPad or a Surface Pro or anything?
But my wife was like, you know, if you were gonna invest in something like that, just save up and get the good one. Get like the best one that you can that you know, and just
right.
Big the one time.
For me, it was I went with Surface Pro. I'll probably go iPad when it's time to replace this one. But I went Surface Pro because it is a functional full, you know, computer that runs full Windows 10. So I can do whatever I want, you know?
Right.
But the iPad was a little bit more limiting. I think it's opened up and you can do Clip Studio Paint, pretty much the full version on iPad, which is nice. But, so it was... And the other thing was, the biggest thing for me was it was portable and it didn't weigh too much and the screen was a good size, so I can work wherever I'm at. You know, that for me, that is huge for my lifestyle, to be able to bring it wherever I go.
Right. That's true. That's what I was thinking too, man. We're getting a tablet for just that reason. I'm going to put this away for right now.
Alrighty. Hey, Aaron, thanks for showing up, man. I appreciate it. Luke says touchscreen seems pretty nice on the newer Cintiq. Luke, do you have a newer one?
Yeah, I can't read any of the comments, so feel
free. Oh, for real?
Yeah, well, the camera's behind me.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
But if someone's saying something or has something that they want to say, then, you know, feel free to read it.
Yeah, I've been reading out anything of note, you know? I've been trying to keep an eye on it. Oh, he does. So how do you know, Luke? You said it seems pretty nice in the new one. How do you know? Hey, Peace Monk. He says, I have a Chinese Yugi 21.5 inch. Luke went the non, like, Cintiq route.
You know what?
You seen those?
XP Pen.
Uh-huh.
I think Iron Pinky. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Eddie Huang? Yeah.
Yeah. He uses that. I've asked him about it a few times just to see what his input is. And he, what did he do? He did the Akira one and the Street Fighter one.
Uh-huh.
That.
Uh-huh.
And they came out pretty good.
They seem like good quality. Jaylon says, Marcus, you've gained a new follower.
Oh, thank you.
He says, how do you contour the colors? Peace Monk, what do you mean contour the colors? Are you talking about what I'm doing here or what Marcus is doing? Peace Monk. Talking about the skin colors looks so amazing. Oh, thank you. Honestly, I'm kind of making up as I go along. I planned out the colors that I wanted to use. It's tone tan, and Jubilee's skin isn't like super dark at all. I think usually she has pretty fair, like light skin, right? So I went with Soft Sun.
She's like your little. She's Asian, right?
Yeah. But she's. I think usually. I don't know. I mean, different artists do it different way, but I thought she was kind of more pale. For some reason, I don't know why I thought that, but I did. But I basically let the paper do most of the skin tone talking. You know what I mean? And then I used Soft Sun as just kind of like little shadows here and there. Yeah, it's Copic Ripple 4. And then I used, I think it was this one right here. Oops. Fruit Pink, was that it? It might have been Fruit Pink. And I did a little bit darker shadows, like probably tell right here. And on the phone, it doesn't look as smooth as it does in person. But I put like a little bit darker, called a core shadow, to suggest that it's a round shape.
See, that's one of the things I admire about your coloring, man, is you've learned how to do a lot of rim lights, and you're not afraid to experiment using different colors and highlights.
No, it's fun, and I've I did some fundamental kind of, you know, practice, and that helped a lot. I don't have it down perfectly at all, but yeah, I did some kind of practices that really helped out a lot. But the biggest thing was I have a close friend of mine here in where I live, who is just an absolutely amazing colorist. His name is Color Lab with a K.
I saw the work he did with you, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, exactly. So, thank you, Peace Monk. So having it just this phenomenal colorist like him, and spending a lot of time with him, I've learned a lot, and he just goes nuts with textures and lighting, and it's just really, really special kind of coloring. So that's had a big impact on me as well.
Yeah, the work he did on those guitars are amazing, man.
Oh my god, dude! Pretty much everything he does is phenomenal. I think he's taken he recently got an iPad Pro, and it's still good, but I think he's lost a little bit. I know he's getting used to the new medium, digital, but his painting, his colored pencil and marker work is just unparalleled, unbelievable work.
Yeah, man, he's amazing.
Yeah. So if you guys don't follow Color Lab already, it's KOLOUR. Color Lab is just, like I said, it's just brilliant. Must follow. Jubilee.
That's one of the things I like to do is when I'm working on a commission or if I'm doing comics, is to take a break and just draw something else.
Definitely. That's what Venom has been for me. for, you know, I don't know why he's Venom, but something about Venom, it just speaks to me, you know. But he, drawing Venom has been that mental break for me. But it's not really mental break either, because I put a lot, I really try and do it differently each time. It's really become like this mental exercise for me, a growth exercise for me. But it is this kind of break from doing sequential stuff, you know?
Right.
It's been so good, just as a mental breather. I don't know what it is, but something about drawing Venom just does it for me like that.
So where do you get your ideas? Like with the way you do his teeth and his tongue, like I'll be honest, it's unique the way you do it versus other people that I've seen try it.
Is it? I honestly can't tell. And when I see other artists do Venom, I get really jealous. Like, I feel like I'm not doing good enough.
And, dude, I think some good artists try to make their own rendition of Venom.
Yeah.
With the way they do their teeth, just looks pretty cheesy.
So my teeth are on point right now, or what?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
For instance, I'll give you an example. I think, I'm not trying to hate. It's just my taste.
Sure.
Elliot Fernandez, Jerkmonger.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a fan of his Venom.
I can't picture it. I'll have to look that up.
I'll show it to you right now. I bought his book. Ooh. He did an art book as well.
Are you allowed to do art books with, like... See, that blows me away that we can do art books with not, you know, characters that aren't ours.
Yeah,
I
see why not.
I know.
They have to shut down all the convention.
No, I know, right? But we do print... I sell prints that, you know, of characters that aren't mine. Like, I get that. But for some reason, when it's in book form, to me that feels like, oh, it's going too far. But I guess it's not.
I see what you're saying. So, like, here's the Venom.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a fan of it. Like I like the angle that he took.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks very and maybe that's what he wanted, like a parasite.
Yeah, there's something that's kind of funky about it. He took some chances there, but it doesn't quite work for me either.
Yeah.
As good as he is, yeah, that doesn't click with me.
You know, I mean, that's one of the things I like about artists that keep it real, is they're not afraid to, you know, they're not always gonna, how can I say, they're not always gonna knock it out the park with every single drawing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Tell me about it.
So, Peace Monk says, how do you control yourself from over-coloring? Like, there's a sweet spot, and then after that point, it becomes too much. He's right. Like, you can definitely saturate things, right?
Yeah.
I think it's. I think this is kind of. Oh, there's. You know what? There's 9 seconds remaining. I'm gonna answer this when I go live again.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna ask the dude's question. Just my thing.
Wait. Well, he's not. Hold on. Wait till he comes back.
Oh, he's not there yet. All
right. I don't think so. So let's give it a minute.
Cool.
But I'm glad you got an answer too, though.
Yeah. I guess from my perspective of doing something, I mess up a lot. There's a lot that I don't post, and there's a lot that I just toss out because it just doesn't work, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
What do you mean toss out?
Like, I'll just throw it away.
But why?
So I don't really draw in a sketchbook. I just draw on a lot of loose paper.
Okay. So, like, you just think it sucks and you toss it out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why I do digital. it's not why I do digital, but that's a bonus. Is all I got to do is clear the layer and start over again.
But you know what I like about traditional work, though, is that there's a lot of collectors out there that prefer the original.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think commissions for digital work are usually for like recently I did a YouTube and Facebook banner and Twitter banner for somebody.
Yeah.
That's the digital realm, I think. I don't think anyone's commissioning people for digital stuff, are they?
Right.
If they are, you probably should stop. It seems a little ridiculous. But it's usually for like a business thing or a profile thing.
Yeah, like logos or yeah. like a little bumper car or whatever they're asking for.
Yep.
I'll do digital if they want a lot of flashy stuff. So if they're like, right. oh, I want the dude doing like an Adugan, and I want like the shine to be all over the place. I'm like, all right, digital.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
You know if that dude made it in?
I haven't seen him. I don't think so. So why don't we go ahead and answer it? Because it'll stay on my, you know, it'll be there. They can watch it still.
Okay.
All right. So you go first. What do you think?
Well, I did this one of Hellboy, and one of the bad things I did here. It's upside down.
Oh, you're facing the wrong way. Yeah.
It's facing the ceiling. Here we go. So I did this Hellboy one.
Uh huh.
And I overinked it. Like, it was going nice, and then I was like, ooh, I want some more shadow on the face. And then I kept going and going, and I was like, oh, I don't like it. Oh, my God, no, nope. And then I just said, screw it. I killed it.
So that one you stopped completely, gave up on?
Yeah, because okay. I wasn't happy with the inking.
Right. Gotcha.
And, I mean, right now it'll probably go to the trash.
So at what point do you know it's too much, though, when you're coloring? Like, what point is it too much?
I guess when I just don't see it as aesthetically pleasing anymore.
So like, yeah, yeah.
For example, but, like, if the shadow here just didn't make sense
right.
with the shadow that was being cast here.
Right.
You know, and then the shadow here. So then I'm thinking, okay, well then the way I started it, the shadow, the light was coming from the top down. But then I have this whole side of the face shadow, and it's just like, no, it's not working for me.
Gotcha. So fundamentally, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, and I think that's stuff that I should have planned out, which I did in the sketching part.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess I just got carried away. I didn't know when to stop.
It is, you really do gotta trust your judgment, but also just practice and practice and practice, right? With markers, so when you're coloring with marker, there's a there's a saturation point where it literally is too much, and you're no longer adding color, but you're actually kind of, what I find is it actually kind of like, doesn't it take on a whole new texture? You know what I'm talking about? So there's like literally a point where it is too much, and if you don't know that point, just start coloring over and over and over again in the same spot, and eventually you'll see, oh, there's like a new texture forming, and it's warping the color, like it's not being productive anymore, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I started doing is, so I don't have like a wide palette of markers to use,
mm-hmm.
so I use drawing as an example. I start working with watercolors a lot lately, within the past year.
Oh, nice.
And primarily it's because with watercolors, with like, let's say 12 colors that I have, I'll just do all my flats with it.
Yeah.
And then I'll take markers and I'll start rendering the shading on it and all that stuff. And it saves me on markers, but I also like the fact that the watercolors gives you a nice texture. And
it does, yeah. And
the markers just helps out, make certain areas of it pop. So it's something that I've just started doing all the time just to help. And with the watercolors, if I mess up on a spot, I can always just keep dabbing more water to it to try to fade it away.
Oh, okay. I know nothing about watercolors, man.
Dude, me either. I just learn as I go.
Learn by doing, yeah.
The person who got me into watercolors was... I forget this female artist that I saw at Emerald City a couple years back.
Okay.
She was doing like huge canvas type of watercolor stuff.
Ooh.
And she was using salt for like different textures and all these different secrets.
Salt?
Yeah, salt. I have no idea what exactly it does. I don't know if you make it. Now someone who might know watercolors would know better than me. But I don't know if the salt
mm-hmm.
if it's wet, if it just dries it up, it gives it a different texture.
Hmm.
I don't know. But I've seen people do it.
And
then I started wanting to dive into watercolors. And then I started, I ran into Joey Lee Cabral, who does really good watercolor work.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
And, so I started following his, looking at his live stream and asking him questions and being that annoying guy. No, we hit it off. He was pretty cool. We've hung out a couple times at conventions.
Nice.
And, yeah, he really got me into the watercolors. Really? He gave me some.
That's cool. So do you have any issues with, like, hitting people up at conventions and just saying hi and, like, introducing yourself and being social and whatnot? Like, people you admire, you know?
I do. Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again. Do I have a problem doing that?
Like, are you good at that or what?
When I introduce myself to somebody, usually it'll be, like, ahead of time I'll try to talk to them or ask some questions online.
Mm-hmm.
And then introduce myself as like, hey, I asked them something online. If they remember, cool. If they don't, doesn't bother me.
Right.
But if I feel like in our conversation, you know, we're like hitting it off, like it feels kind of natural and not robotic. If that makes sense, what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a lot easier to talk to the person.
Definitely.
You know, questions and whatnot.
Right.
I remember talking to Jake Parker.
Ooh, nice. In person or on DMs or what?
No, in person. In person. Nice. I told him I had bought one of his books while he was doing that Kickstarter.
Oh, there you go.
And I was a big fan. How he motivated me to do some you know, robotic type work.
Cool.
And I had drawn one of his characters and I gave it to him. This is my first convention that I went to that I was like wanting to meet artists.
Mm-hmm.
I guess network.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him a drawing that I did, and he was pretty impressed by it. He liked it.
Cool.
And then he tells me, I asked him, you know, what kind of pointers could he give me in terms of meeting artists and networking?
Yeah.
And he was like, one of the things he said was, let the friendship come out naturally.
Oh, interesting.
And at that moment, I was like, oh, all right, I'm cool. It's not natural between me and you, Jake, so I will leave you be.
That's actually really interesting, though.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
No. No, I'm not hearing that, but just the idea of connecting and building a relationship first.
Yeah.
That's really, I like that. You know, if it clicks, cool, but to not be, you know, too aggressive, I guess.
Yeah.
Right on.
What about you, man?
I don't have much interest. It's when I was doing the conventions, all I wanted to do was just like go to the artists I admire and shake their hand and say hi. That's all I wanted. Like Neil Adams, I shook his hand and said hi. And Eric Larson, I just shook his hand and said, just want to say hi to you. That's it. And I was cool with that. I didn't want to like talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go deeper. I just wanted to say hi and shake their hand. And I was cool. The same. I don't know what it is about me. It's the same thing with. I used to live in Santa Clara, California, where the Niners play.
Yeah.
And before they moved there, but they used to practice. Or they do practice in Santa Clara. But I would see 49er players every now and again, like in, you know, the grocery store or whatever,
right.
And or at the mall, and I just go up and say, just want to shake your hand, say hi. And that was good enough for me. That's all I wanted.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm like that. I'm not easily starstruck.
Yeah.
Until I saw, what's his name? Kevin Conroy. The guy who does the voice of Batman, the animated series.
Oh, that did it for you?
Yeah, that did it for me.
That's great.
I just grew up hearing him as Batman.
Yeah.
Handshake's pretty cool. Or just
I don't know what I would want. Like, I don't know what I would ask. You know, Jake Parker, I'd like to meet him. I'd like to do an interview with him. I'd like to do a full-on interview with him. But I don't know what I would say. Maybe just, you know, appreciation for him, his podcast, just saying, you know, I like it or whatever.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know what I would want to say. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I had that same feeling with, you know that artist, Saya?
Yeah.
She does Fathom, I think. Not Fathom. Fathom and
Lola. Yeah. Lola. Yep.
So she used to live in Seattle. I'm not sure she still lives here.
Right.
But I ran into her at Emerald City, and she was doing a signing at the Aspen comic booth.
Right.
And I was standing there, and I really love her work.
Yeah.
And I was looking at her, and she was drawing something. She's looking up at me, smiling, and I walked away. I wasn't intimidated by her. I stood in front of her, and I just had nothing to say.
Yeah. Right.
She's an amazing artist.
She's very, very good. Let's see, Awesome Mankind says, "What you doing?" I'm drawing. I'm coloring Jubilee.
I'm just doodling. I don't know. This kind of looks like the thing.
That's not Jubilee. I thought you were drawing Jubilee.
You want me to draw Jubilee?
That's what I said. That's the recommendation I gave you. But you do, right, you do, no, I mean, you do your thing, you do you. But yeah. You said, what should I draw? I said, Jubilee, bam, right away.
Boom. All right, I'm going to do it.
So you erased the whole, you erased the whole thing, why don't you save it for later?
That's
all right. All right, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
You know, I learned when I was in high school, I went to an art high school.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
an art high school?
Yeah. It was a creative and performing arts high school.
Whoa, cool.
And I was taking a sculpture class. Uh-huh. I'm doing pottery, throwing on the wheel, like, you know, ghost type of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And
ghost.
What's that?
I said ghost.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I know.
And so, the teacher made this beautiful pot. And he had painted it, and it was just, like, epic. And as he was, like, showing it to the class,
yeah,
everyone was like, man, it is so beautiful. He looks at everyone's like, thanks. And then he slams it on the ground.
Oh.
And just shattered it. And everyone was freaking out. And they're like, why did you do that? He was like, well, because I want to teach you guys you can't get attached to a piece.
Right.
You may put all this effort into it, but just understand that if it breaks, it breaks. If
yeah.
You can always make another one and maybe even better.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah, I was like, all
right. Do you listen to 3-Point Perspective?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the Jake Parker podcast along with two others, but they've all taught art. And yeah. one of them shared that he had a teacher that did the same thing or something like that. But that was the kind of like a lesson plan sort of thing.
Oh, nice.
Like they tore up a piece of paper, like an art, you know, piece of art in front of their class or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's a good lesson. So Jaylon says, I once saw Neil Adams. I nearly screamed. No joke. And I saw Steve Soranko. Best nerdgasm ever. Nice.
Nice.
What's up, Absolute? Yes, welcome. Mighty X Monk. Welcome.
It's so now, when you're doing conventions and you see these guys behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And you realize, I'm not going to name names, but who's not as cool in person as you really thought they were?
Yeah.
You see the guys who are all about the money? The guys who are just, like, tired of the whole thing.
Dude, Neil Adams, he was and I don't blame him, but he was charging, like, $900 for a commission.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That blew my mind. I had no reference point for, like, how much pros charge, you know, especially like legendary ones. That absolutely blew my mind.
And I'm a part of a Facebook group where this one guy said he understands why some people charge that much.
Sure.
But he admires this one artist. I forget the artist's name, but he was saying he admires that artist that he kept his prices low because the guy said conventions are meant to be fun. They're meant to be affordable for people.
Yeah.
Not breaking the bank. You know, and he was a big, well-known artist, and I like that.
That is cool.
Did you go to art school?
No, I majored in art for I think a semester in junior college. I thought I was going to be a professional artist for a living. Because art was kind of always my passion. It was more of a hobby, I think, back then. But then when I started majoring in it, I realized I don't want to draw what other people want me to draw. I want to do my own thing. And so I switched majors. I realized, luckily, really early on that if I couldn't hang in college, I wouldn't be hanging like on a professional level. Yeah, it just wasn't a good fit for me.
Yeah, man. If I could go back in time, I'd tell myself to major something else in college.
Yeah.
In the art field, I would have stayed, but something a lot different. I majored animation, and then went back for motion graphics.
Yeah.
And I am not doing any of that right now.
You majored in animation, and went back for motion graphics.
Yeah. And they're both well-paying jobs that you can get into. But with animation, I went in when traditional 2D was going out.
Oh, okay.
Turning into 3D.
Yeah.
And I was one of those who was like, I'll stick with the 2D.
Yeah. Just like you're doing with your old-ass tablet.
Yeah, right?
There's a pattern here, dude.
Everyone else is on CC.
That's pretty old, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't use it at all, but yes, I think it's pretty old.
Yeah.
What?
I still get the same type of work done as someone who's using the latest one. So
yeah. but I get that. But then you're using other people as your gauge of how good you are, rather than, you know, maybe if you upgraded, you'd have more opportunities to create even better. You know.
That's true.
Like, don't use other people as your barometer.
I see what you mean. Okay.
you know what's best for you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But, you know, like, yeah, we can't do that, man. Like, we all do it. But we can't. Like, we shouldn't be doing that, right? Comparing ourselves to other and having that be our, like, gauge.
Oh, right.
Right?
Well, I use other people's work as, it's kind of like competition to try to motivate myself to get better.
Yeah, I like that.
You know,
yep.
Like, what's that guy's name? Oliver, Oliver Bevelin?
What does he do?
He's an artist on Instagram. He does a lot of Marvel covers.
I think I know who you're talking about. No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of Olivier Coipel or whatever.
This guy, he's just amazing.
Jaylon says, you are a professional artist. Once you've sold a piece of your art, consider yourself professional. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Do you? All right.
I mean, everyone's style is different.
Right.
Can't say that someone who's working for Marvel is a professional and someone who's doing indie comics isn't professional.
To me, the line is, are you making a living off it or not? Which is, I guess that's pretty gray, but like, that's, you know, is that your primary source of money, you know?
You're right.
That's kind of, that's the way I've always, I'm not saying it's right, but that's just the way I've looked at things.
If you're making it your profession, then I guess you are a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Jaylon, you agree or no? All right, so now I gotta figure out the board and the shoes. Otherwise, yeah.
Well, I've never drawn Jubilee. I think I did it once.
Oh yeah.
There's like certain characters that are just so uninteresting.
I think Jubilee's appeal is she's got kind of, you know, cool costume potential, the attitude potential, the, you know, she's kind of bubbly but also kind of cool, and I think she's got a lot of appeal for drawing.
Yeah, okay. I'm not knocking it. I mean, hey,
She was. It was fun. This is actually. This has been a really fun piece. I'm glad I took the commission on.
You were able to be creative, like the person I'm assuming asked for that Back to the Future inspired theme.
Yeah, it was honestly a perfect situation. It was someone that commissioned me that trusted my judgment and just let me kind of go at it. I did the pencil version and sent it to him, and he okayed it. He was really excited about it. So it was really kind of ideal for me.
That's awesome, man.
You know, it was like no muss, no fuss.
Yeah. Projects like that are fun.
Yeah.
Because my creativity gets kind of dry sometimes.
Yeah.
And when I'm someone that comes up with an idea for a drawing, that's nice. I like that.
People like it? What do you mean? People like when you come up with the idea?
No. I like it when they come up with the
idea. Oh, yeah.
Someone commissioned me to do a Pennywise fighting it. Pennywise fighting Hellboy.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I never thought of that before.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's because I asked permission to make it as a print. And they were with it. And so then,
there you go.
It's been one of my good sellers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then someone else commissioned me to do a Pennywise versus Spawn.
Right on.
And I was like, even better. I like Spawn.
Just winning. Just constant winning, man.
Yeah, man. It's got that dragon energy.
All right, I feel like I need some sort of, like, backlight to her. But I don't want... You know what I mean? Like, back here? But I don't know if I want to push it that far. So this is the point where it's like, is it too much? All right, Jaylon says we were talking about professionalism or professional level art, or calling yourself a professional. He says I do. I asked him if he agreed. He says I do, and I don't. I believe it's the acknowledgement from others and the financial push it gives. I mean, I understand I should satisfy it should satisfy your wallet maybe, but shouldn't it also satisfy your mental creativity? I think. Just creating and calling yourself an artist if you want to, but just doing what you do. For me, the mental creativity and satisfying that's all I'm worried about right now. But I'm not making a living off art, and I don't really have a goal to. So for me, it's purely about what am I getting out of it, and am I helping other people along the way?
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's my only focus, is am I having fun? But that's, to me, that's a luxury because I have a career. I have a really good career, so that gives me the luxury of purely just having fun with art.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think, man? Any thoughts?
I mean, I'm making money off this.
Great. Right.
Much. My wife gave me the opportunity to focus on my art.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Right.
I guess I consider myself a professional,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm, like you said earlier, I'm making money off it. I'm actually doing.
That's your primary, yeah.
Work for people.
Right.
I have clients.
Right.
And it's not just the fan art. I do other stuff on the side as well.
Cool.
Not on the side, I try to be like the jack of all trades in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Logo designs, video work.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, so I've done.
Nice.
Like with the motion graphics, I'll do lower thirds and different graphic work for videos that people have made.
Yeah.
Like, you know what lower thirds are? Like where they got their name. Yeah.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, dude.
I don't post all that stuff just because it's not.
Why wouldn't you post it?
That's
what I don't get. You're the second person I've you know, talked with who is attempting to do actually a very similar situation to you. Where they've they have a, you know, a wife who has a career, and they've agreed, like, on the, you know, a certain setup or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so this other person is seeing some success in art as well. So he's a professional artist. It's just like you are, making money off art. They have a partner or a wife that is also making money, and, you know, so it's working. But I'm interested because both you guys both don't show everything you do, and I don't get that. If it's a service you're selling, why aren't you showing it?
I post some of it on my personal website.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
My Instagram page and Facebook page, I primarily focus it on targeted audience of just, I guess, fan artwork.
Mm-hmm.
When I do conventions, I don't, I mean, it's just Comic Cons. If I do like video game convention, I take all my video game art.
Right.
I don't know why I don't post that stuff.
Well, who's your audience on Instagram?
Primarily, it's a lot of people that just want comic art.
How many other artists follow you?
Other artists? God. I don't know. I have to jump on my brothers whenever we get in contact, like get together.
No. I know you have other artists that are following you.
Artists that I am aware of that follow me.
I'm not saying like big names. I'm just saying artists, people that draw, people that are beginners or amateurs.
There's a lot of artists that follow me.
Yeah,
there's like a lot of questions from people asking me, like, you know, different art tips.
Or even like cosplayers. How many cosplayers follow you?
I think I have like two or three that I'm aware of.
I'm sure you have more.
Probably. I don't know.
I'm sure you have. I think there's a lot of crossover between the people who follow you and follow me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is. So like, I know I have lots and lots of artists that follow me of all levels. Cosplayers, role play accounts, all these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I've been wanting to find a way. You were talking the other day.
Yeah.
The week, connecting with your audience.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've been really wanting to work on.
That's a whole separate thing, though. But my point here is that you think your audience is people that like fan art. But you have people that have their own YouTube channels. Like, I recently did something for Fun for Spidey. You know, have you know who that is? He's a cosplayer. But he has a YouTube channel. He's got 100,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
He's doing really well. His YouTube channel, I think, is growing. He's got Facebook, but he wanted someone to do a banner for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for the channel header and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he liked my art style. But the point is, you don't know who's following you, man. Like, I'm sure you have people that have YouTube channels that don't know that you can do that. Like, you can do that kind of branding stuff. And it sounds like you have some of that, the skills and branding and whatnot. Yeah.
You're right. You are so correct.
Like, but you're not showing it. It's the same thing with the other dude that I talked to. It's like, why aren't you showing all what you can do? If this is your profession, like if this is your job and you're not showing people, potential customers, what you can do, I just don't get it.
Ooh, dropping that heat. I like this, man. See, this is it's one of the things I like talking with other artists.
Right. Learn. Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
Look at things in a different perspective.
Well, it's funny because for me, it's completely about just my enjoyment level and having fun.
Yeah.
But that's the fact that I've detached myself from the money aspect of it almost completely. Now I'm seeing more clearly potential money revenues. I'm not pursuing it at all because I'm not there yet. But once I've detached myself completely, it's no longer about I draw something, someone buys it. I draw something, someone buys it. But now I'm seeing like, there's other ideas that are out there that I could pursue.
Right.
Once I'm ready to. You know?
I like that.
All right. So you do what you want with that, but I'm just. It's like show. I'm not like, I'm genuinely curious what else you're doing.
What else am I doing?
I'm really curious because I stop by your page every now and again.
Yeah.
And I've never seen you do anything. Like, I was shocked that you're doing your own comic, that your own, you know, create your own thing or whatever, or you're a part of it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't advertise it too much. Why? I think because I want it to build up on its own. But then again, I should use the...
What does that mean? What does that mean, build up on its own?
So we did we have a Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to build up with its own audience and not...
Oh, yeah, I get that.
But I think I might be looking at it the wrong way. I should use my platform or my the audience that I reach out that I have to, you know, reach out to them, because there could be people who have an interest in it as well. So that's my
yeah. There definitely could, because there's people who, I mean, Venom is like, you know, people are following me because I draw Venom well, right? But as they see what I'm drawing and get to know more about me as a person, they'll ask like, hey, have you done any books or what are the projects? Like, they get curious about what else I'm working on once I have that initial kind of hook, and usually it's Venom, honestly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's not my intent. Is I just like to draw Venom, so I do it. I'm not trying to like hook people.
You do it pretty well.
Thank you. I like it, man. It's fun. But yeah, the people that are into what you draw, I think, would be interested in what else you draw, like a create your own kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right.
That Jubilee's looking cool. The other thing I've noticed recently I've gone way more into like giving and making sure that I'm providing value, you know?
Yeah.
And that seemed like people, that's really clicking with people, and it's no longer even about, like, there's people that are following me because I draw Venom well, but now there's people that are just like into me, I think, as a person, and they're clicking with that positivity vibe.
Yeah.
So, for me, like, I've really stopped selling completely. And in my mind, it's like brand building. I'm just building up the brand of Justin Prime and connecting with people and making relationships. And I think, I don't know, at some point I might be selling something, or I don't know. But I think once that rolls around, I'll have some real solid connections, and people will be buying more into me and not just Venom, you know?
Right.
But that's like a long, long couple of years down the road kind of thing, I think.
You know, I was thinking of doing something where, for New Year's, like, I was thinking of doing that this past January, which was, doing nothing but original artwork.
Yeah.
Now that I have a fan base, now that I have X amount of followers that know that I can draw certain ways or certain styles.
Yeah.
Or that I can draw, period. Use that and start doing my own thing, and seeing if I can keep that same audience or build up an audience that has an interesting original work rather than, you know, fan art or.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So my experience with that was, it's hard, dude.
Yeah.
It's such a challenge. The engagement of when I draw Venom versus when I was doing Astro Pig or Sculder Stories, it just plummets, it drops. Even though people like the way I draw, like, I know people want fan art.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough sell, but there were key people like you remembered Sculder Stories and you asked me about it, you know. So some, and like you said, you were into watching me the process of creating that. So there was some people that were really into it and that were willing to back on the Kickstarter. So like, it's there, you'll build that group. I think if you have a good enough idea and execution.
Right.
But it's real. I think it's jarring for people to, cause I was doing fan art. And then I shut it all down and went full on into Sculder Stories issue 1 and 2 and whatnot. And it was my follower growth plateaued. I was stuck at around, it was like 8,500 or so for probably a couple of years, dude. So I noticed a big, big difference. So I don't know.
Your lunchtime requests were just really popping, dude.
That was so much fun. That was a lot of fun. I wish I could. It's just not in the cards for me right now. But yeah, those were super fun.
I was thinking of doing that, and I was like, ah, heck yeah,
it's not. No, don't. Please, I want you to. It's so much fun, and it's great for building connections. Please.
Because I like the fact that it kept everyone engaged.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
You know, you had people that were commenting even when the post was done. They were still commenting.
No, people would look forward to it. They got really invested in it. It was great.
I think, isn't that where you got your Spider-Man drawing where he's eating the hamburger?
Yes.
think you got that off that, right?
Yeah, that was the yeah. Hey there, BHRNT, Burnt, Bjernt. Thank you for joining us. Think he says it looks awesome. Yeah, there was a couple of them actually that I got from the lunchtime request that I ended up turning into prints. The Spider-Man one with eating the it was a donut eating a donut on
okay.
on the rooftop. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it was a donut. Yeah, that was. I was really proud of that one, but that came out of lunchtime request. And there was another one with Spider-Man playing Duck Hunt, and I think I had him holding a Duck Hunt gun.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too.
That
I think
came.
Deadpool one too, right?
I did, yeah, exactly. Yeah, people kept, man, that drove me nuts. I drew it as Spider-Man. I always see Spider-Man doing those like goofy things too, you know.
Yeah.
And then people would see it, and they'd be, "This is cool. Why isn't it Deadpool?" And people like seriously would come up to my tables at conventions and keep asking, "Why isn't it Deadpool? Why isn't it Deadpool?" And it drove me nuts. So I eventually just made it Deadpool just to make sales, and it sold.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I don't like Deadpool.
He's everywhere, everywhere.
I'm sorry.
Everywhere.
I'm that guy where if it's popular, I don't like it.
I feel you. I had a handful of Deadpool. I had a couple of, what do you call it, Harley Quinns that I was selling. Harley Quinn is huge at conventions. Jaylon says, "I tried fan art, but I just couldn't see myself drawing other people's creations. Not even in my style. One way of drawing is... Oh, my way of drawing is how I see people." I think that's what he meant. "Basically, I turn people into characters of their own." That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's unique. It's different. It could be a little niche for you. That sounds great, man. Hey, Luke. Welcome back. That's awesome. I don't know. I don't think... Luke, this is an epic session, man. You missed a great conversation, too. But it'll be recorded. I'll record it somehow. Anyhow, what was Jaylon? Oh, so Jaylon, yeah, he... I guess fan art isn't for everybody. You know what I mean? And I think that's... Nothing wrong with that at all. If you got your niche, man, yeah, go at it hard, you know?
You know, I think... I don't think it's wrong... Well, I mean, everyone has their thing. Like you said, it's not for everyone. For me, though, I enjoy doing fan art.
Yeah.
I enjoy taking it and making my own rendition of it.
Yeah.
I just find it fun.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. It's like if I'm a fan of the character, like Ninja Turtles,
yeah.
I like to just make my own style.
There's something that's really satisfying that I find about reimagining something.
Yeah. And not taking away from the original.
No. But I get what he's saying, and I feel kind of like I'm using Venom as a way to, like, I'm building myself up on the back of something that's not mine, and that is what's happening, and that is, it's true. Like, that's the way I do kind of feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
So, on a technical level, that might be true, but I feel like I do it in an interesting and high enough level to where people are responding, because anybody can do it, but can you do it in a way where people are connecting with it, you know?
Well, I think you're doing a great job with your Venom, because I can look at it and say, "Oh, that's a Justin Prime Venom."
That's my goal, is that it's recognizable. I mean, it's a hope. It's not really a goal, because it's not something I like am consciously trying to do. But it's a hope that, you know, among the sea of the ocean of Venoms, that people will be able to spot mine.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think part of that, what helps yours stand out, is that you like him.
Yeah.
And you're passionate about that character when you draw it, that you can tell, you can see it in the outcome, like at the end product, versus you drawing something that you just don't feel like drawing. If that makes sense, I don't know.
No, it makes total sense. There's things that I'll do. I've done drawings where I feel like I should, because they're popular. Like, I drew Rey and Chewbacca before episode 8 came out, I think it was. And I don't think I sold a single one as I made them into prints. Because the love wasn't in there. And I don't think... I think people picked up on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I did that with... there's that video game out called Ruby.
Uh-huh.
Which is like girl fighting. It's a girl fighting game, I think, or some RPG. I don't know.
All right.
I didn't know anything about it. My brother tells me, yo, it's popular. Go draw it.
Right.
I'm like, all right. I did it. I took it to Evo, which is a video game convention, or a video game tournament place in Vegas, and I didn't sell a single one of those.
Yeah.
I pulled them off the shelf. I said, you know what? That's it. It's trash.
Yep.
Threw it out. Yep. And all my other stuff was selling them that I had more of a passion to.
People can tell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, Dragon Ball Z. I love Dragon Ball. I grew up with it. I like drawing them. I don't draw them often because I want to stay away from it. I drew them so much when I was younger. But they sell, man. And I enjoy... I do like drawing them.
Yeah.
But in my own style. And I've gotten pretty good feedback from it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You know? No, you can tell who's into it when someone's not.
You really can. Because like that comes through. If you're not feeling it, it comes through, and people aren't going to feel it along with you. Luke asked if this is my weekly challenge subject. No, this is a commission, Luke. So Luke here, he does on my podcast every week, he submits a challenge for my listeners. And this week is to draw something you've never drawn before. My goal is to draw a Jack Kirby monster. I've never drawn one of those before.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, if you guys have not heard the podcast, Luke in the chat here, he's the sexy Australian voice that chimes in once a week and drops the weekly challenge. He's got some really fun good ideas too. What was that, Marcus?
I said I do a lot of sales to people in Australia. I think it's because at the time that we're on right now, I guess it's like what evening over there.
Yeah.
Or like early afternoon.
Luke, what time is it over there? I think it's like, I want to say 3:00. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Luke said he drew a podcast man. That's funny. That is funny, Luke.
Oh, snap.
I requested him to draw a podcast man. Is that what it was? I think it was called Podcast Man. And he drew it. It was pretty funny. So you met your own challenge, man. Congratulations. Oh, it's 6 p.m. Damn, I was off by 3 hours. 6 p.m. over there.
6 p.m., okay.
Yeah. Jaylon, it's 1 a.m. What time is it here? I don't even know what time it is. 11:21. I got to be up in 6 hours.
There you go.
But it's worth it. This is very much worth a little sacrifice and sleep. Thank you, Ransberger. I'm pretty much done with mine for the night. At this point, I'm just chatting with Marcos here. That looks cool, man. You went with the 90s Jubilee. The 1994, I think it is. Cartoon?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's a struggle drawing women.
It is, man. Do you have a hard time with that?
It depends, man. I like I said, I'm not a fan of Jubilee. I'll be honest. I do, but I think it's because... I think it's the lips that kill it for me sometimes. I know...
Yeah.
Certain aspects, like the bridge of the nose can make the woman look rich.
Yeah.
You gotta draw, like... I try to study a lot of Art Germ's style on how he draws his women.
Sure.
But, I don't know. I'll figure it out eventually.
That's interesting, because of how much you and I draw that women is like... Is still a challenge, you know?
Yeah. I have yet to draw my wife, and she wants me to draw her.
Oh, hell no. Don't do that. Because it's going to come out wrong, and she'll be insulted, and no, don't. Just keep postponing it.
I'll never be happy with it.
Right. All right, man. I'm going to shut it down. Thank you so much for giving me all this time and drawing with us and talking with me. This has been great, dude.
No problem, man. It's been fun.
If as long as the audio came out right, you'll be on my podcast. You okay with that?
Oh, sure, cool.
Right on, man. Hey, thank you everybody for joining. Lee just joined us. We're bouncing out, but thank you guys for joining and watching. Appreciate it. Bye, Marcus.
Sweet, man. Take care, man.